Okay, our Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 50, the whole chapter, verses 1 through 23. It is on the screen. It's on page 473 in the Black Bibles if you want to follow along. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, roaring fire around. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire, around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness and God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or a goat from your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him, and you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this, then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. And our New Testament passage is 2 Corinthians 9, verses 10 through 15. It's on page 968. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, through which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. But by their approval of this service, they will glorify God, because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. This is the word of the Lord.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to try to preach a shorter sermon today, much shorter, because we have a lot of other moving parts. It is a question and response Sunday, so that means we've been kind of gathering questions from you all throughout the series. We want to address some of those, and so I'll do that a little bit later. And so first, though, want to kind of give our last little reflection on generosity in this generosity series. All right, kids, I'm glad you're in the service this morning. I need your help. Can anybody just yell out something that they're hoping to get for Christmas this year? What's on your wish list? A baseball bat. Okay, what else? A dog? Okay. All right. Well, you know what I got? I told your parents this last week if they were in the service. When I went to my grandparents every Christmas, I did not get a dog. I did not get a baseball bat. You know what I got? I got socks and underwear. Okay? Would you be excited about getting socks and underwear? Maybe some of you would, but they weren't cool socks and underwear. Okay? They weren't the cool kind. That was bad enough. It was hard enough to receive that gift and say thanks to my grandma for that gift. But what was even harder was that several weeks later, my mom and my dad would make me sit down and write thank you notes for all of the gifts that I got. And so I had to sit there and reflect on and come up with a reason why I was thankful for receiving socks and underwear for Christmas. And I had to write my grandma a note that said thank you. I don't know, parents, if you guys are used to this or you even do this. Maybe children, you guys write thank you notes. This was a big deal for me as a kid. If I didn't write a thank you note, it was as if I didn't even receive the gift, right? Sometimes, even still, I get messages from grandma that says, did you receive that gift? Because I never got a thank you note, right? Have you guys had this experience? Maybe it's just me. I used to really not like that. I used to really resent that my parents made me write thank you notes, that my grandparents were so insistent on receiving thank you notes. Except now I realize that whether they knew it or not, my parents and my grandparents were actually reflecting God by inviting me to give thanks for the gifts that they had given me. I mean, we read in Psalm 50, at the end of that psalm there, God pretty much says that if you forget to give him thanks, he might rip off your arms and your legs. Seems a little extreme, right? My grandparents never threatened that. Why is God so insistent that we give him thanks? Except that I believe that actually thanksgiving and gratitude is essential to us as humans. So it's essential for us to flourish in relationship with one another and with God. That's what we're going to look at this morning, that thanksgiving is the proper response to generosity and is essential for us living rightly with one another and with God. If you'll remember, we're kind of walking through this series where we're seeing generosity as a gift from God, a gift that he's given us by which we can experience our relationship with him. In the first week, we saw that that generosity is an act of God's grace, an opportunity for us to experience God's grace and express God's grace. Then we saw that generosity is a test of faith, an opportunity for us to see if our faith really is real. And then we saw generosity as an invitation to love and an expression of joy. And we're going to end this week with seeing that generosity is the source of all thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving is an essential response to generosity and is essential for us living in right relationship with one another and with God. So first I want to see that thanksgiving or gratitude is the proper response to the generosity of other people. We see that in verses 11 and 12 in our reading this morning. Paul's motivating the Corinthians to give because he sees that the Corinthians' generosity will overflow in thanksgiving from the Jerusalem church. And I thought to myself, is other people saying thank you really a good motivation for giving them a gift? It seems that Paul thinks that it is. And I do believe that actually generosity and gratitude are fundamental and foundational for us to flourish in relationship with one another. One psychologist writing about the importance of gratitude says that gratitude is an important way that we name our vulnerability. I want you to think about that. Saying thank you is an opportunity for us to name our vulnerability. And he talks about how vulnerability is one of the essential aspects of being human. That every one of us is born into this world vulnerable, relying on the generosity of others to care for us, to feed us, to nourish us, to teach us. We are born vulnerable, actually by design. And so, the offer of generosity, the opportunity to say thank you to someone, is the opportunity to express one of the essential aspects of what it means to be human. That is our vulnerability. And yet we really aren't good at this, are we? I think especially up here in the Northeast, it's hard to let somebody do something for you without feeling the need to just pay them back. I'd rather pay you back than say thank you, right? And gratitude is not a natural thing for us to do. Kids, did any of you go trick-or-treating a couple weeks ago? When you went to the door, what'd you say? Trick-or-treat, and then you ran off, right, without saying anything else? What were you supposed to say before you left? Good, okay. But as parents, I don't know about you, we had to remind our kids before they ran to the next house to say thank you. Gratitude is not a natural thing for us because naming our vulnerability is not a natural thing for us. And yet, it's essential to being human. So let me explain to you or show you how saying thank you is an act of vulnerability. Saying thank you is acknowledging that someone has given you something or met a need that you have that you couldn't have met yourself. Let's just think of a silly example. You're at Thanksgiving dinner in a few days, and you're at one end of the table, and the ooey gooey mac and cheese is at the other end of the table, and you need that mac and cheese. You long for that mac and cheese, but you can't reach that mac and cheese. So you can say thank you. You can ask Aunt Sally to pass that mac and cheese down to you, right? And Aunt Sally, she could respond at that moment in a couple of different ways. Do you really need more food on your plate? Come and get it yourself, is one way she could say it. One way she could respond. or she could kindly pick up the dish and pass it down to you, right? And you'd receive that by saying, thank you. Because Aunt Sally has just met a need that you had that you couldn't meet yourself, right? Asking someone for something and naming a vulnerability is a dangerous thing to do because they could respond to that in several different ways. And yet when someone responds in generosity, meets that need, offers that desire, the proper response is gratitude. Thank you. You just met a need that I couldn't meet myself. And in that, we get to express what it means to be human, right? What it means to be human, that we are vulnerable, that we all have needs, and also that we need other people to meet those needs. When we went through the book of Genesis a couple months ago, we saw this, that God created all humans to have needs and to meet needs. And so generosity and gratitude in response is essential to human flourishing and flourishing in relationships with one another. However, it's interesting, you might notice that Paul motivates the Corinthian giving not by saying that the Jerusalem church will thank them, but he says that the generosity of the Corinthian church will lead to thanksgiving to God. And so what we find is that our generosity to others and our gratitude to others when they're generous to us is good in itself, but also is training in our relationship with God. Our relationship with God, which is primarily and ultimately the relationship of a giver and a receiver. And so the only right way for us to relate to God is in gratitude for his generosity to us. Gratitude is the underlying language of Christianity because it's fundamental to our belief system that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All that we have is a gift from God. And so our gratitude towards others is training for a right response to God. And Paul says this, and he actually ends this whole section with his own thanksgiving to God. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. Different theologians and commentators have different opinions on what this inexpressible gift is. Some of them think it's the inexpressible gift of diverse people coming together over one cause to help this Jerusalem church. It could be just the inexpressible gift of the grace of God at work in the Macedonian church and the Corinthian church. One commentator thinks that this is pointing us towards the inexpressible gift of Jesus Christ. I think the answer is probably all of the above. Because James 1 tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And so as Christians, we believe that everything that we have comes from God. The breath in your lungs, a gift. The friends in your neighborhood, a gift. The family in your home on Thursday, a gift. The food on your table, a gift. All of it is a gift from God. And that all points us to the gift of Jesus Christ, that we all are vulnerable. We all have a need. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. What we deserve because of our sin is death. And yet the free gift, God's generosity, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the right response to God in every moment, in every situation, is gratitude. And the invitation of generosity, the gift of generosity, is to bring others into that gratitude. That as we cover the vulnerability of others, we are imaging God to those around us, showing others how God moves towards us and meets our needs and covers our vulnerability. And we're inviting them to say thank you to us, to see their vulnerability covered. And then hopefully that will point them to the beauty of a God who does the same thing. This is the invitation of generosity, this gift that God gives us through which we can experience and express our relationship to him.